Okay, it is the 19th of December 2017, Tuesday, Rosh Chodesh Aleph, Aleph of the month of Tevis, seventh day of Chanukah, and we have a mixture as we conclude Perek Zion today. We have a couple of different things to point out. So one of them, this is an interesting topic, and he has some other things that actually relate to Parsha, which maybe we'll get to on Shabbos for those Wynwood people here might be becoming attractions, but there is a, he points out a challenge. We actually had this challenge. If we look at Perek Zion, Pasuk Ches, right? 7-8. So here it's talking about the Korban Mincha. Then we'll talk mostly about the Korban Todah. But here when it's talking about the Korban Mincha, it says, Va'kohen hamakrivas ola se'ish, the Kohen who's going to bring the ola of this person, or ha'ola asher hikriv, the or, the skin of the ola which he brings, la'kohen lo yiyeh. La'kohen lo yiyeh. To the Kohen, it shall be. Now what does it mean, la'kohen lo yiyeh? To which Kohen? To the Kohen who brought it? So Rashi jumps in here and says, "Lakohen yachalo levado." I may have thought maybe it's his. So therefore, it comes the next pasuk to teach. No, to all of Bnei Aaron. Maybe all of Bnei Aaron. No, therefore, it comes to teach you that it's only the family, the Beis Av, that is bringing it on that day. Okay, that's number one. V'chol mincha, and then it says v'chol mincha asher teyafe b'tanur v'chol nasim racheshes v'yamachavas la'kohen hamakrivos alotiyah. Therefore, that pasuk as well. When it comes to the mincha that is baked in the oven, v'chol nasim racheshes and all that's made in the dishes v'yamachavas, the kohen who brings it, it is supposed to be his. Okay, that's what it says. The one who brings it, maybe again, once I thought it would be him. So therefore, comes and tells you, no, not just him, rather all the kohanim of that Beis Av. And then it concludes by saying, pasuk yud, v'chol mincha belula v'shemen v'chariva, and any offering, any mincha offering that is mixed in oil and that is dry, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish kachim. That's going to belong to all of the b'nei Aaron. Right. So there is a bit of a problem here. Right. The pasuk tes mentions that the one who brings the Korban Mincha is going to belong specifically to the Kohen who brings it. And then Pasuk Yud, it talks about the Kohen Mincha is brought, the Korban Mincha is brought, and who gets to, who gets a portion of the Korban Mincha. That goes to all of the Bnei Aaron, meaning any Kohen is then going to be entitled to it. So how do we understand that mixture? So Rashi puts the two together and says, well, one's a, it implies somebody specific, but it's not only going to be that person specific, rather it's entitled to all of the Kohanim. But wait, it's not going to all of the Kohanim, rather it's going to go to the Beis Av, not just the Mishpacha, not just the group of Kohanim that are there for that week, but specifically the Kohen who is there for that day. And that, in fact, is the halacha, and that's going to cover all of the menachos, all of these minchos, all of these korbanos that are offered, don't just go to the Kohen, nor does it go to all of the Kohanim, rather it goes to the Kohanim specifically who are serving on that day. That's the din. Now, there is a very interesting Ramban, though, that discusses this. Sifsei Chaim, there's a two volumes on Emunah Ubechira. So in the second volume of Emunah Ubechira, so he discusses the idea of learning Pardes B'Torah. What does Pardes B'Torah mean? Anybody know what Pardes stands for? Pardes literally means a garden or an orchard, but it's used as a acronym for it. Do you know? Yeah, Pshat, Drash, Remez, Tzod. So Remez and Drash are an opposite. Pshat, simple explanation. Drash, what? The deeper explanations, remez, what it hints to, and then so it's secrets that could then come out of that. So every, and then beyond that, we have other concepts as well, that there's shivim panim l'torah, there's 70 perspectives on the Torah, there's 600,000 perspectives on the Torah. There's many different ways of accounting for the idea that there's many different explanations within the Torah. So the Ramban, and his explanation here, he says the pshat on the pasuk is that they're really talking about different menachos. He says, v'chol mincha, he says, any mincha that is baked or that is that is baked in the oven or that is made in a deep pan, that's going to go to the Kohen. I mean, any mincha that's actually baked goes to the Kohen, as opposed to other minchos where you just mix it up with oil, etc. So that can go to any Kohen. Specific menachos that are turned into loaves go to that Kohen, and the other karban, the other menachos that are just mixed with oil and offered could go to anybody. So says Ramban, why should that be? Why would I make a distinction and say some menachos go only to the Kohen who's involved, as opposed to other menachos that go to anybody? So says the Ramban, says, well, because the ones that are made into loaves are, in fact, labor-intensive. Those are labor-intensive. That requires work. That requires somebody going to the stove and turning on the fire and kneading it and putting it together, etc., and actually going ahead and making these things. So if somebody's going ahead and putting in the work and making those things, he deserves it. So says the Ramban, that's the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is that korbaning mincha that get turned into loaves that actually require work of the Kohen, that Kohen who does the work, he gets to keep it. However, korbanos minchas that are just things that are mixed together and offered on the mizbeach, and then the rest is being able to be kept is really just flour mixed with oil that gets to be kept by the kohanim. Who gets those? Any kohen gets entitled to it. The Ramban says that's the pshat. That's a simple explanation in the pasuk, but the halacha is not like that. The Ramban says the halacha is the way Rashi explained it. What is the way that Rashi explained it? That the halachas for all of the menachos are the same thing, and whoever gets the it gets dispensed amongst the beis av, it gets dispensed amongst the kohanim that happen to be working in the beis of mikdash that day. So it says the Sif Seicha, you know, that's a very interesting idea, the idea of a pshat in a pasuk, even though that's not the halacha. That's what the Ramban is clearly saying here. The pshat in the pasuk is one way, but the halacha that comes out of the pasuk is another way. So then Sisi Chaim raises the question of, okay, so then what's the point of learning the pshat? Right, what's the point of learning the official explanation or the simplest explanation if the halacha doesn't come out that way? So in other areas of the Torah, when I'm trying to figure out what the story is, so the story is, I understand, there's an idea of learning the pshat in the pasuk and the drash in the pasuk, and there's different interpretations of what's going on. I understand that that makes, I understand that. But in a halachic section of the Chumash, why would so I understand halacha is going to interpret, impose a pshat on the pasuk, but then what's the point of the pshat? If the whole point of learning this section is to learn out the halacha is not like the simple explanation. So how does one decipher that? That is the question that is discussed here by the Sif Seichaim. Now he goes ahead and gives plenty of examples, and maybe another time we'll go through some of these other examples. But his conclusion is that it's true that from the pshat we're not going to learn the halacha, but perhaps we should learn out. The pshat of the Torah does give us a little bit of an insight into what's going on here. I mean, really the din is, the halacha is that it gets divided amongst all the kohanim, etc. And it's like bringing back spoils from war, and spoils from war get divided amongst all those that get equally, those that went out to war and fought in the battle, and those that stayed back on the home front and were the medics and were the supply chain and all of those people, all of them get to share in the spoils of the war. But it's important to recognize the attitude of that Kohen put in all the work. It's important to recognize that there is a Kohen that put in a lot of work, and in theory he's entitled to all of it. And yet the Torah says that he's not. Yet the Torah says it's still going to be divided amongst everybody. And from that dialectic, says the Sif Seichaim, you could perhaps learn out a lesson. You could learn out a lesson that some people have specific jobs, but perhaps the rewards of those jobs would then be divided amongst all others. So even though the halacha does not follow the pshat in the pasuk, even in a halachic section of the Torah, one still gains from understanding what the simple explanation of the words of the Torah are before one goes on and gets to the halachic interpretation. Okay, so that's just thought number one that comes out of this parak. So as we continue on over the course of this parak, the main theme from a Musar perspective that everybody seems to be talking about is the issue of the Korban Todah. So we've already alluded to, it is hinted to in the words of the Rishonim, that there are two exceptions. The Korban Todah is, what category of Korban is it? So it actually is categorized as a Korban Shlamim, because the animal portion of the Korban Todah is a Shlamim, and then we offer breads along with the Korban Shlamim. So there's two major exceptions to the rules of Korbanos that are invoked when it comes to the Korban Todah. Number one is is that there is a chametz aspect to it, so we don't see that in other places. The main difference between a shlamim and a toda is A, the large amount of food that is required to be eaten, and number two, the idea that there is only a limited amount of time for which one may eat it, that you're only permitted to eat it that day and that night. So what's the reason for that? So many of you shown him say, other than Nitziv perhaps says it the most clearly of all, he says because when one has a miracle happen to them, so they are required to share it amongst their friends, and the style of the korban shlamim, the fact that there's so much food that needs to be eaten, and there's so little time in which to eat it, so therefore that encourages the person who brings it to make sure that there are other people to eat it with him, and therefore the miracle, and therefore the things get spread amongst others as well. The Nitziv continues on the bottom of the page, in the Herchiv Davar, on the Nitziv there's other commentaries that are found on the page, and he says, and that's pshat in a pasuk that we say in Hallel. Well, if you're familiar with this pasuk in Hallel, l'chaz bach zebach todu v'shem Hashem akra, to you I'm going to offer my toda v'shem Hashem akra, in the name of Hashem I will invoke, nederai l'Hashem ha'shalem nagdana l'chol amo, I will pay in my presence now to the entire people, b'chatzros beis Hashem b'suchechi Yerushalayim ha'luka, in the courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash, in your midst, in Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. What is this talking about? So, l'chaz bach zevachto, to you I am going to offer the korban toda, and I invoke Hashem's name in that which happened to me, and the derai la Hashem hashalem, and I pay back my neder. A korban toda is done because a person promises that they're going to bring it. We'll get into it shortly, whether there's actually a chiv to bring a korban toda or not, but certainly they're invoking their neder. I made a neder in order to bring it. Negdana l'chol amo. In the presence of the entire nation. What does it mean, the presence of the entire nation? Most korbanos are not going to be brought in the presence of the entire nation. He says, no, because it's brought there, and then I share it, and then I spread it with everybody else. So that's pshat in the pasuk. That idea in Hallel, l'chaz bach zevach todah v'shem Hashem akra, I'm offering a zevach todah in front of the entire nation, such that the entire nation will eat, and the entire nation will recognize it, and the entire nation will benefit from it. Okay, so then there is a question that Simon here brings up in the Imrei Baruch. So he quotes the idea. We discussed yesterday in Halacha Day the issue of Birchas HaGomel. That the Birchas HaGomel, there is a connection to the Korban Todah, even though finding where exactly that connection is made, Rashi makes that connection, but finding an explicit connection in the Torah Shabbat Peh is a little bit hard to come by. But either way, we know that there is this, there is a connection that is made, and we bring the Birchas HaGomel, we say Birchas HaGomel when things happen to us. We talked yesterday about there's four things that the Gemara give us, and is it specifically those four things, or is it anything that that could possibly happen, but that is connected to the Korban Todah. Now, is there a chiyuv to bring a Korban Todah? Is there an obligation to bring a Korban Todah? If something happens to you, is one obligated to bring so, to do so? So there is a what's called the ksav yad of Rashi on Menachos. What do you mean? The ksav yad literally means a manuscript. So there is on the last couple of prakim, I think on the last four chapters in Maseches Menachos, so if you look on the daf, there is Rashi, and then on the bottom of the page, there is Ksav Yad Rashi. So what is the difference between Rashi and Ksav Yad Rashi? So there was something that was printed all along that was known as being Rashi. And then there was the Shita Mekubetzes came along and said claims that they found, either not really a manuscript from Rashi himself, but a manuscript that was Rashi and perhaps more... more fit Rashi's style and Rashi's pshat, etc. Claim that that was really Rashi. So they were both put on the page. There's the Rashi that the traditional Rashi, which scholars claim is not really him, and then there's the Ksav Yad Rashi that's on the bottom, which is perhaps more authoritative, actually being from Rashi's himself's writing. So Rashi in the Ksav Yad says that when talking about the Korban Toda, Todas Chova. Right, Rashi there, which is perhaps no surprise, plus Rashi here makes the same type of connection, that it is a chiv, that if a person brings a korban, that a person, these four things happen to them, a person got sick, a person got out of prison, a person survived a sea trip, a person survived going through the desert, If those things happen, they bring a korban todah, and it is a chova. It is an obligation that that person would have to bring a korban todah. So that is disagreed on. He quotes here from the Shittim Gebetzis himself that he is bothered by this. He says, "Where do you find that?" The only time that we find in the Gemara that a person has obligated to bring a korban todah is if a person says, "I'm hereby going to bring a korban todah." But it doesn't. But we don't find that the circumstance itself obligates a person to go ahead and bring a korban todah. So he quotes here from Rav David Goldberg. Don't know who it is. From the Sefer Shiras David. Who explains that, right, and that's different than other korbanos. There's other korbanos, korban chatas, korban asham, korban olaviorit. So those korbanos are actually enforced upon a person. A person does something, so then they are then obligated to respond by bringing a korban. So why is it that the korban todah is not an obligation? It's not, the circumstances don't force a person in order to do it. So he explains, shavadai haseva shemaskikin lahavia korban hu anesh yirelo, that the reason that would cause a person to bring this korban is the miracle that happened. But the Torah does not obligate a person because of this to bring a korban, like a chatas that gets brought because of a sin. The Torah wants it. The Torah created the circumstance such that a person will bring it on their own volition. On their own volition. That a person can... the reason is because... that if a person is being forced to do something, so it's not a real thanks. So if the Torah would force a person to bring a korban todah, so it wouldn't really be considered a thank you. That would be considered a... like a child being told by their parent, please go and say thank you. So in order for it to be a real hodah, in order for it to be a real thanks to Hashem, it has to be that it is something that is a... that person is bringing of his own volition, as opposed to something that they're being forced to do. He quotes as well from the Avudram. The Avudram is a commentary he's quoting the Beis Yosef of Sedra. So we discussed yesterday that there is a major machlokus between the Beis Yosef and between the Sephardic Rishonim and the Ashkenazi Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch himself records that in Ashkenaz and Tsarfat, in Germany and France, they don't make the bracha from a travel from town to town, even though it would be implies that I would think that would be the din, but the machlokas works the other way as well. That Ashkenazim will make the bracha even if it's not something that fits into those four specific categories. So to the Sephardic Rishonim, those four categories are objective. Does it objectively fit into those four categories? While for Ashkenazim, it is a subjective idea. So they quote from the Avudraham, who I believe was Sephardi, although I'm not sure. They quote from the Avudraham that he's actually on the opinion that it's subjective. That why would he say it's subjective? Because it's a feeling. It's a feeling of thanks. So how could we say that these four things you're going to be thankful for, and for these other types of things you're not going to be thankful for? If a person has a feeling of hodah, if a person has a feeling of thanks that they want to give to Hashem, so therefore it's appropriate that they would go ahead and do it, not limiting themselves to those four categories. Okay, maybe we'll get back to this if we have time, but I want to share with another issue with regards to Oda, also having actually to do with Chanukah. It's in the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah. So in the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah, in essay number 2, so Rav Huttner points out, while on this topic of giving thanks, that Oda, the term Oda for thanks, is, there's two different translations of the word hodah. So one of them is thanks. We say shemach hodah, praise and thanks to Hashem. Toshim chaluchan ella hodos, that we give praise and thanks to Hashem. That's the bracha of hodah towards the end of Shemona Esrei. And suggests Rav Huttner that if we think about it, hodah is also has another translation.
Turkey.
What?
Turkey.
India.
Oh, hodu. Hodu is Turkey. Along the same lines that we call, for instance, the following term in Gemara, hodas baal din kamei edim dami. Have you heard that expression before? What is hodas baal din kamei edim dami? That if the baal din, I mean the person involved in the case, is modeh, agrees to the charge against him, it's like 100 Edom made that, it's like there's 100 witnesses to that fact. If I say you owe me $100, and the other person says, yeah, you're right, so that's what we call Hudas Baldin, and that has the status of being like 100 witnesses. So if Hittner says, you realize there's two different translations, right? One is, right, if I say, hey, you owe me $100, and the person says, yeah, you're right, I do, the person's not thanking me for reminding him to pay the $100. He's just admitting that he owes me the $100. So those are two different translations, except for Hittner says, if we think about it, they really are one. They really are very connected. But what does it mean that a person is giving thanks? If a person is thanking another, if a person is truly thanking another person, they are admitting that they would not be able to do it on their own. And those are the flip side of those two, of the two terms of hoda. That any hoda to another person is on one time an appreciation, but at the same time it's an admittance that they would not be able to do it on their own, and therefore, and that's why they are going ahead and thanking the other person. And that plays itself out both in terms of a connection to other people when we give thanks and appreciate another person, and also when we have a thanks and appreciation towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Rav Hittner goes on and explains that this perhaps explains also a piece in davening that we have. So if we look in the bracha of Modim that we say in Shmoneh Esrei, so we say Modim Anachnu Lach, Shatav Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu L'Olam Ve'ed. So we, the way it's translated here is we gratefully thank you. Shatav Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu L'Olam Ve'ed. Sur Chayenu Magen Yishenu Atahu Dor V'Dor Nodel Lecha. So you are the rock of our lives, the shield of our salvations, for generation to generation. We shall thank you and relate your praise on the life that you have given us and on the neshamos that you have entrusted to us. So why do we have to say hoda twice? Why are we saying thank you twice over the course of that first paragraph? So suggests Rav Hittner that these the two terms of hoda here are actually pointing those two themes, those two translations of hoda that we mentioned right before. Modim anachnu lach, that we are being moda to you. What? She'ata, that you are the following. Now, is that giving thanks or is that giving recognition? Vas? Is that giving thanks or is it giving recognition?
Recognition.
It's giving recognition. Right? I recognize, I am moda to you, Hashem, that you are the source of all of our life. And then we say, Nodel lecha, I thank you and I will tell you your great things. Al chayinu hamsrim biyadecha. On the lives that you have passed into, for our lives which are committed to your power. Al chayinu hamsrim biyadecha, mishrosena pekudas lach, and our neshamos that are devoted to you, etc. Right? So the first modim is a recognition that Hashem is the source of all of our power. And then we say, and as you are the source of our power, nodel lecha, we thank you for the opportunities that you have given to us. So those are those dual aspects that he is giving here. He goes on and says, and that's also perhaps pshat in the name that was given to Yehuda. What's the name of Yehuda? So we look in the psukim.
Todah,
right? The Hapam Ode Es Hashem. That's the way when Leah named Yehuda, so he says, Hapam, now I'm going to thank Hashem. So why now are you going to thank Hashem? So Yehuda was child number 4, and if Leah recognizes this, she's getting child number 4, that means that she won the game, right? Because if there's going to be 4 wives, and there's going to be 3 children to eat, even though at that time I don't think Bill and Zilpah had married Yaakov yet, but okay. She recognized that she was now going to win, or at least end up in a tie, or whatever. She was doing pretty well. So now she's going to give thanks to Hashem. So So Rashi says, the fact that I've gotten more than my portion, now I am going to give praise. So he explains, Inyan hatoda avrli daso shel Yehuda kola besocham gam hodas baldin shma shekiblo lo magia la mitzad hadin. That hoda, that right, also includes within it the hodas of the baldin. I mean, it's giving thanks. On one hand, she's thanking Hashem that I'm getting this. On the other hand, she's also being mode as a baldin, as a player in the game. She's recognizing what she was allotted to, and then she is thanking that she was able to be able to allot more. So that dual aspect is important to keep in mind, certainly over these days of Chanukah. Let's share one more aspect here. Talk about this, that he, at the very end of Rabbi Simon's piece, so he quotes an interesting idea from Rav Chaim Pardes, who Shlita is still alive. Again, I don't know how Rabbi Simon finds out about all these people, who they are, but he has the following idea, that the what's another unique aspect of the Todah, which we mentioned before, A, that it has a short amount of time to eat it, B, that it has a lot of food, and C, it is the only Korban Yachid that includes within it Chametz. Includes within the chametz. There's chametz as well as matzah, well, of course. So what perhaps is unique about that idea? We could add that to another concept that the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us that kol karbanos kulam yubetein liyasid lavo chutz mi korban toda. That in the future all of the karbanos are going to be nullified with the exception of the korban toda. The korban toda is not going to be nullified, and he brings a proof from Pasuk in Zechariah that talks about going ahead and bringing the korban toda even during the time of the redemption. So what is the significance to the chametz and matzah? See, he suggests that the connection of the chametz and matzah represents different ideas and different different ideas with in terms of Avodas Hashem, in terms of everything. That matzah represents everything being fast and quick, and chametz represents things being slow, etc. They are considered complete opposites. Over the course of Pesach, one of them you're mekayim a mitzvah if you eat, and the other one you are chayiv kares if you go ahead and eat. So suggests the Rav Pardes that why are we going ahead and mixing the chametz and matzah at this point? Because when a person is in trouble that they need to give thanks to Hashem for, they're often going through that roller coaster. On one hand, they're put into danger, and they said, oh, Yvay, why is Hashem doing this to me? And then on the other hand, they're able to get out, they're able to overcome it, and then they go ahead and give a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're dealing with those two different opposites. So I would have thought, well, who got me in trouble in the first place? So there's the idea of dualism, maybe the one spirit put me in this situation, another spirit was able to then save me, and now I like that spirit, I don't like this spirit. So the idea of the Korban Todah, having chametz and matzah together, is to recognize that all of it is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that both sides are coming from Hashem, and both are, and all is controlled by Hashem. So I'm offering the Korban Todah, both the chametz aspect as well as the matzah aspect come together for me to recognize that everything really is all connected and all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that perhaps is the idea that the Korban Todah is going to continue to be offered even in Zman Mashiach, or even in Liyasid Lavo, whatever Liyasid Lavo means in the context of that Medrash, but the Korban Todah is going to continue to be offered because we recognize that everything, the entire course of human history, is really all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the, even the good times as well as the bad times, and the bad times are really ultimately giving to the good times, and the time of Asid Lavo is going to be ultimate recognition that really everything is really being covered and being run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Okay, Shekayah concludes Perek Zion. Yes, we're moving on to Perek Ches.